This was your request. I haven't listened to this song forever. 12 million views on one flipping YouTube video. On that note, welcome. This is Bucky Beeman's Audio Adventure. We're on episode number 8, and I'm super excited for this one because I have somebody on the scene that is in business in Rochester. They're in a culture, in a community, in an industry that I really know nothing about. I'm going to learn a lot tonight. Go ahead and introduce yourself. Who's in the dining room studio?
Well, you got Brad here from Nerding Out.
Nice to see you, Brad.
Thanks, Bucky.
Brad, Nerding Out, I think it kind of says it in the name, but what is Nerding Out?
Tells the whole story. It's a culture. Really, what we are is we're a business here in Rochester, and we're all about vintage and newer games, toys, and comics. So we're just about that culture for the community, having something out there because people haven't had it here in town specifically. You've got a couple alternatives, but it's not exactly how we do it or what we do. So many years of just collecting things, I've wanted to bring this to Rochester, give the people something to have.
So the truth is, it was all in your basement, and you're like, I really need to get it out of my
basement. It actually wasn't me. It was my fiance.
Your fiance was like, you really need to get this out of our basement.
Yeah, it was kind of a double-edged sword. It was, she didn't want it in the house anymore, but as soon as she figured out I actually was getting a store going, she was kind of like, oh, okay.
So let's start with the origin stories. Like, did you ever have any other businesses? What kind of got you onto the whole business mindset?
You know, I think it all started when I was a kid. I was spoiled. My dad would buy me all the toys in the world. So I had the He-Man, the G.I. Joes, the Transformers. And my imagination was huge. I could sit in my room for hours and just play and be in that world of what I was doing. And I think I've had creativity because of that. And yeah, I did. I had a actual clothing line about 7 years ago. And I was big into MMA. As far as not really training, but watching and liking it and doing that. And so I had this, I'm sitting in class one day for a job and I'm like drawing and I draw this logo and I'm like, this is badass. This is it. And it looked kind of like the New York Yankees symbol, but not quite. And then I had to come up with the name and I did. And I'm like, one and done. I'm like, it's perfect. So I came up with this logo and this name and I started getting clothes, fighting shorts, t-shirts, hats, you name it. And it, like, didn't take off at first, but I just, every weekend, I would go to fights, and I would sell this stuff. And I was outselling these other brands by, like, 3 to 4 times. And we had great feedback. And, you know, again, I have to give commitment to my fiance because she allowed me to do this every weekend with kids. And, you know, one day, I got hooked up with Tommy Spear.
No way. That's sweet.
Yep.
And so, explain Tommy Spear, because those that are listening probably don't know who he is.
Absolutely. Tommy Spear is a farm boy here in around Rochester who actually did MMA, got onto the Ultimate Fighter, and actually went all the way to the finals and then got a UFC contract to fight. And it was really cool because I actually hooked up with him, and he fought wearing my clothing a couple times. And also Travis View. Local guy from Otana that was huge on the fight scene back in the day before it was super popular. He was fighting multiple fights a night at heavyweight, and he's worn my stuff. And there's a gentleman up in the Twin Cities by the name of Zach, and they have all been on Bellator. And it was really neat. Through connections, I met this gal who knew Smiling Sam Alvey. So if you know about UFC, this guy is known for Smiling. And through that, he went on Bellator. And it was actually, I think,
his great smiles he went on.
Yeah, because he's always smiling no matter what, right. You know.
He was probably beating some people
up.
Yeah,
he was definitely beating people up, yep. And even if he got beat up, he would smile. But so my clothing went on Bellator Live one night.
Wow.
And it was the coolest thing. It's almost like the you made it type thing, I didn't make it. But what was really neat about it was the fight was unbelievable. This guy was beating him and beating him and beating him where he was bloody. And I forgot to add in the part that his fiance was the winner of the top model, and they kept showing her. So it was like, for what I did, it was like a godsend and amazing because I had the best advertisement because they kept panning to her every like 5 minutes. And then in the ring, he was wearing my stuff. And third round, he came out and ended up just beating this guy. And so at the end of the fight, you had him, his fiance, who won America's Top Model, and then his ring guy all wearing my stuff. And I had to, like, snap photos, freeze frame. I had to do everything because it was the coolest thing in the world. And then from there, I guess, this came about because I was collecting and I enjoyed it. And I was like, there needs to be a website where you have Facebook, but in Facebook you have groups, right? And a lot of times these groups are closed or private because for a reason, right? Some people just don't want you to know what they do or want you to think differently because of what they do. So I wanted to make a website where you could kind of do Facebook and eBay. And I was left hanging. I hired a couple different guys and paid them a good amount of money, and they left
me
hanging.
So you're saying you're trying to start Amazon, but just couldn't kick it off.
I was trying to be like Amazon, right? Unfortunately, that didn't work out. My stock is not high. But but from there, you know, I actually, at my age, I went to play for the Med City Freeze last year here in Rochester. As a joke, I try it out. I'm like, I'm going to kick myself in the butt if I don't try this because I felt like I was pretty good. I made the team, and I met my business partner, Jake Sharpen, who we just connected immediately. And he had a passion for toys. I had a passion for toys. And we're out and about, and we just decided, okay, we should really think about this. And we tried to get a couple different people to invest with us.
And what are you trying to get him to invest in? Was it the store at that point, or was it still the website that you weren't able to launch just yet?
Good question. It was the store.
Okay.
The website I kind of put aside for FDA a little bit.
Flushed a bunch of money down the toilet.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I need to do something new.
Yeah, so we decided it'd be really cool to actually have a store in Rochester. Mm-hmm. Not only would it be cool, but there really wasn't anything like what we wanted to do. So we thought it worked really well for this city. And, I mean, it went so fast. I'm not going to lie. It went from looking at spaces. We looked at about probably 5 to 6 spaces. And then next thing you know, we contact AJ. Mm-hmm. And AJ met
Shout
with
out
us.
To AJ,
yep, AJ Hawkins.
Thank you, AJ.
Yep, absolutely. Great guy, by the way. I heard his uncle was, or his grandpa was it?
Yeah.
Was really hard to work with. And AJ has been phenomenal. Like, I mean, he always is there to communicate with you. Super nice guy. But yeah, shout out. Sorry, going way too deep into that.
Five locations. Like, how many locations did you actually look at before you secured the one that you're in now?
We looked at 5.
Okay.
So we called on 5. I mean, 4 we looked in. 5 we looked at.
Yep.
We called on all 5. One was too small for how much they wanted. One was too big, I guess, and wanted way too much, I felt, for where they were. And then one was very reasonable. And that was right off by the Northgate Shopping Center, right across. And but then when we saw this one, it's almost like when you fall in love with a house and it's a disaster, but you know you can make it good. And it fell in the price range. And AJ worked with us really well. And we changed it around. And I think we've turned it into something that anybody from Rochester would like to see.
Right. So I think one thing that's unique, and we'll go on the commercial real estate because it's something I'm so passionate about. Like AJ, his family, they're also part owner of that shopping center.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it takes a shopping center owner to recognize people that have passion and ambition and drive to create a store into something special.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they recognize your passion, you know, and just your vision and everything. And that takes risk for a landlord to take because you got somebody knocking on the door probably that's been in business for 20 years and they're an accounting firm. No, you know, we need accounting firms in this world too, right? But there's also a lot of opportunity for startups. And I think it's cool to see what it's turned into for that shopping center as well, because that center itself has just been more known for, you know, office uses or the barber shop. It doesn't have cool shops, and I would definitely consider yours as one of the cool shops.
Yeah, I think what you have out there is an accounting place,
yep,
a chiropractor office. You have a massage place that's I think is part-time open. They're open or closed. And then you have a couple other random little, like a siding place, I think, and like the barber shop. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think that's what I kind of sold AJ on was the fact that I really push for him because I'm a salesperson at heart. And I pushed for him to work with us on a couple different things on there because I told him that we would bring in a lot of people. And I agree with you 100%. I think when people know about that, they know about it because of Woody's Liquor. And if you don't know what we're talking about, now you probably do because we just said Woody's Liquor.
Yeah, right.
There's not a lot of places in that strip right there that bring in consistent people. And we keep track of what we do, and I'm really proud of the people that actually come there.
So why the heck go to brick and mortar over just doubling down once again into the web? Because we're seeing what the web is doing for this industry, I'm sure. Like, people are not buying video games at... You know, they're going online to buy them. Like, why go into the brick and mortar? What's the reasoning behind that?
You know, there is a lot of talk about that. One of the guys that we talked about, he actually sells toys himself already. And he does an amazing job of doing it and flipping it really quick. And that's what he was about. And he had to back out because he didn't see the promise in it because of the fact that he doesn't have to pay anything right now to do all this. He can do it right from his home. And I what you just said is a great point. I hope everybody understands Bucky's interviewing right now because it's actually really good. The fact that you brought that up, I don't think a lot of people would ask that. Mm. And it's a great question because it's one that I hold close to heart. It was a lot of stress because when you think about it, you're talking about $1,500 to $2,000 just for rent.
And a month.
Your bills, everything else. And you got to pray that you're going to make it. You know what I mean? Because you really don't know. You don't know what your basis is going to be about people coming in and how they're going to love it and how you do it. I think the biggest thing is, like I said, I do have a very strong and big sales background. And for me, I just know how to treat people when it comes to customers especially. And I feel like I'm pretty decent at marketing, even though I was never a marketing major. And just knowing this industry or this culture, I think, helps. But it was a scare because you're right. You could do all of this online. You could go through eBay. You could, you know what I mean? People shop all the time on Amazon. They're always looking for the best deal. And I think it has to do with any other industry. It doesn't matter if it's cars or houses. If you have a product that's great and you truly, if the customer believes in you, they will buy from you. And that's the biggest thing. And this was something, again, I feel I'll go back to Rochester really needed. And I still believe it because a lot of the people that buy these toys, and me especially, I'll go to Walmart or Target every once in a while and look for stuff. I'm a grown man. I'm not real comfortable with a lady looking at me wondering why I'm shopping in the toy aisle. You know, and I'm assuming they're thinking it's for my kid, and I'll lie and say it is for my kid, even if it isn't. But
same thing you tell the person at the cash register.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, or if I got five of the same toy, why I have five of the same toy?
I got five boys.
My son really likes this figure. But no, I just, for me, it goes back to that you need a place where you feel welcome, right? You go to a coffee shop because you know you can use their Wi-Fi, nobody's going to judge you, and you just get a coffee. That's literally all you do. You buy a coffee and you sit there for hours on their Wi-Fi, but nobody bugs you, right? That's kind of like the same thing. You come into our shop, look around. If you find something, I don't care if you want to sit in there for 2 hours and read a comic, do it. That's what it's there for. That's what we're there for.
You're creating a sense of community in a store as well, and I think that experience is so important because that's what people can't get from the internet, right?
Absolutely.
It's, you can't get that experience. You can't meet other people that maybe have similar interests. You can't meet people that are just interested in things that you might be interested in. I think that's what you're creating is this experience. And honestly, I think the businesses that recognize that and the property owners that recognize that, those are the ones we're going to see really succeed in this day and age of internet and, you know, Amazon stock going up to $1 billion per share.
Hey, I think so. I do a lot of research and a lot of reading. And, you know, the one thing about brilliant Walmart. Walmart just put these pickup things in their machines, almost like a big vending machine, right? Mm-hmm. In their stores. I used one for the first time today. Amazingly easy. Huh. Literally, I ordered something right around Black Friday for my kids. I went in today. I took my phone. The screen pulls up. I took my phone, put it right there. And then it's like a vending machine. It takes this big arm and goes, grabs the item, brings it down to you, screen opens up, you take it. And they're doing this to compete with Amazon. They're making it easy for you to go into a store and get the toy that you wanted. And you don't have to go very far. They have 2-day shipping now also, where Amazon, I'm not going to lie, lacks. Their 2-day shipping is now 3 to 4 because they're using USPS, and they're not fulfilling what Amazon says they will. I feel like I'm talking like Gary Vee and getting away from everything. But.
No, I love it. And what it makes me think, and it just goes back to my point of experience, Amazon's going that way. Amazon's Walmart's going that way. They're not going to the, you know, what small business has honestly been for generations of, you know, the people. It's not going to, you go in and you talk to somebody. It's going into robots.
Yep.
And we still need the places that sell things I'm interested in that aren't robots, because that's what I really enjoy. I enjoy going to those places.
Yeah.
Just as much as I enjoy going to the robot once in a while, yeah. Right? But it depends on what you're going for, I would say.
100% right. Because if you go to buy shoes, it's always, can I help you? Nope, I'm just looking, right? You're in and out. You don't need that huge interaction. But when you're off the clock, you're drained, you have a hobby, you go into that store that's your hobby, you love to talk about it. You want someone there that can talk to you about it, mm-hmm. because it's fulfilling. It's that human in an inhuman world, I like to say, because mm-hmm. that's where it's kind of going.
So talk about, if I were to walk into the store right now, what would I see? What's the experience today? What could I do? Paint the picture for those that are listening.
I could do this with my eyes closed. I literally love the store. I could like walk you into that door and go through the whole store.
What's it about?
So basically you walk into our door, and right away when you go through it, you walk into this little corridor that leads to another door. And in that corridor, off to the left, we have a pegboard for people to put their business cards or their flyers for something that's coming up in the city, because we love to help advertise. We're about other businesses in town here. To the left, I drew a mural of Gotham City with the bat signal on the wall, painted it. That's all done up. Right when you walk in the door, there's three posters. You have Guardians of the Galaxy, and these are huge posters, by the way. You have Wonder Woman right below that, and now you have Spider-Man.
Where did you steal those from?
Actually, big shout out to the manager, Jake, over at Family Video. Hope you don't get in trouble for that, but thank you very much for those posters.
Thank you. I mean, otherwise it would have went right in the dumpster, and you're helping a small business out, and you're keeping especially that business-to-business relationship close by. They're right out in front of you, aren't they?
Dang right, and we go to Marco's Pizza a ton, so.
Oh, I haven't been there yet.
It's pretty good.
Nice.
So you walk in, we have our register right here. Off to your right, we have two different things. You can, for the kids, we have a bench there to sit down on, or for kids to be able to stand up. And we have a Nerdin' Out Man. So it's a superhero guy with the Nerdin' Out logo. And you can put your face in there and get your picture taken. Right next to him or behind him, we have a life-size Spider-Man statue. People can come in, get their pictures taken with that.
Cool.
Or it's just a cool feature to bring people in. You walk over to the left, and we have all of our Star Wars section. We have glass cases that have some of the more expensive stuff hanging up on the walls.
What's the more expensive stuff in nerd culture?
More expensive would, people love to call them grails. Grails are the toys that are older that are worth more money. So you're talking 12-back Star Wars. Those are the original 12 from the first line ever, from like 1977. And they're only 12 figures, and those are worth big money. Grails are going to be like original lines. So G.I. Joe's, think back when you were a kid. First Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle series, or even He-Man, if you remember He-Man at all. So that would be like grails are the more expensive. It also could be a newer figure that was very hard to get. Their value goes up really quick. Just like real estate, it's where you live and what you have is what it comes down to.
So we walk past that showcase of the expensive stuff. Where do we go next? I'm picturing, are we getting close to the couches?
Not yet. Okay. We actually redesigned the whole store.
Oh, I got
to
go back in. Good.
So there used to be an office right there. We knocked that wall out. So now it's almost like a U. So you walk around and you have action figures all along the walls.
Sweet.
From Marvel, Lord of the Rings, Transformers, G.I. Joes, you name it, it's there. Once you go from there, there's obviously the open space, and we have all of our cabinets there, glass cabinets with nicer items like the older Star Wars, older He-Man. We have some, we have some Garbage Pail Kids in there even. So you walk over down the middle of the store, basically, and you've got Funko Pops, statues. And then what we did is back where you were saying the couch was, where the two TVs were,
yeah.
We took those out because we wanted to dedicate more space to the comic book people. So we took all that out, and we put all of our comic books back there. So we have tables that go in a C, basically, of comic books, and then we have racks of comic books on the wall.
Sweet.
So then the extra room over to the right now is the gaming room.
Okay.
We have three TVs, 8 systems, along with an arcade stick that has like 680 games. We have a couch in there, a bar table type round table, and then another table for people to go play like Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, all that.
So cool. Yeah. Have you seen another store like this in another market? I'm curious to hear a little bit about like what this industry and culture is doing nationally, because I'm sure you're keeping an eye out.
Yeah, I mean, I try to visit other stores and see how they're doing. I mean, there's some stores that are just comic books.
Okay.
And then there are some stores that are like that. But I haven't seen like ours. And what I mean by that is you can go get comics and toys and systems, but you can't actually sit down and play stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There literally is no space to do this. Our store is probably one of the cleanest comic book toy stores you'll ever be in, other than Target and all that, because, well, they have 90,000 employees and cleaning crews. We don't. But comic book stores typically are messy. They're like garage sales. You walk around, you can't even see half their items because they're so close. And we really wanted to take the time to make our store clean and easy for people to see what they want.
And I really think that's the art of retail. And I don't think I've ever talked to anybody honestly about this, but there is a skill to the way you set those things up. So it increases sales, so it improves the experience, right?
Yep.
I mean, I was talking to a friend yesterday about end caps and, you know, it was a nice new Java da-da-da-da-da can. It was like, it's all a sales gimmick. Like it was on the end cap, looked pretty, all that stuff. But at the same point, they sell.
You know who does it best, honestly? And this only comes because as a teenager, I worked at a supermarket and I had to stock shelves. And my OCD clicks in. So every can has to be face forward and in a perfect line, right?
No way. You say right. No, I don't know that.
Like, yeah, that's how I am.
Okay.
So if I'm doing something, even if you go to the store, you will see how lined up stuff is because I will make sure it's spaced and I'll make sure that it's lined up perfectly. So I try to do the best there. But Target does it best. I really believe this because if you used to think about it, Target used to have all their clearance items just in their general area or on the sides. Now, if you look at it, they move them to the back of the store.
Smart.
You have to go all the way back there, just like the theory with the milk, right?
Right.
Milk's in the back of the store, so you have to go all the way back.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of Quick Trip. What are they doing to us? Quick Trip, what are they doing to us? I don't know. They're just smart all over. It almost pisses me off to go into a Quick Trip because I feel like these guys are so smart and I'm spending money with them and they've got me pegged.
But you know what the best part about Quick Trip is? It's nobody wants to be sold anymore.
Right.
They want to be helped. Right? Selling's a turnoff.
Yeah.
You can tell when you're being sold. Now, the difference is I'm a salesperson. I love to be sold. But you have people that don't love to be sold. Quick Trip's amazing. They don't sell you. They let their product sell themselves with their advertisements, right? Bananas for 15 cents or three onions for a dollar, whatever it may be. So they don't have to placement stuff because in the back of their store is soda and frozen pizzas.
Right.
You really don't have to go back there, right? Their milk's up front. Their bananas are
convenient.
Front.
Interesting. That's a little bit of an opposite thought in theirs, but they recognize they are convenience, don't they?
Yeah. And then what do they say when you're done?
See you next time.
You got it.
Yeah.
There's no
That's
selling.
That's the other thing that pisses me off because I'm like, gosh, you guys know you'll see me next time. Yeah. You're just smart and they teach you to say that.
There won't be a next time and then you're there next week.
Yeah, not even. Like an hour later. Yeah. You're like, oh, I should go back and grab this. That sounds
good. Oh, I forgot this.
So what is the nerd culture, as we'll call it, because that's what I hear Gary Vee call it on his stuff, and I know we both, he's like, man, nerd culture's blown up. What is nerd culture doing right now? Like, where do you think it's headed? Where do you think, maybe even share where you've come from, where it's come from. Like, is it a flash in the pan? You know, like Crocs? Like, Crocs were really popular for a while, and then, I don't know. It's just
or Jabot jeans?
Yeah, those are yo-yos? Man, I had a yo-yo. I had a yo-yo, and do you remember the yo-yo person that came to, like, middle school or high school, and they sold the yo-yos? And, you got the fireball? And then my fireball was freaking stolen out of my locker. I was so mad. And I paid, like, $30 for that thing.
I'm telling you, they'll be back again.
I know.
Fidget cubes and fidget spinners, the yo-yo is going to be next.
Yo-yo's coming back.
I'm going to go get stock in yo-yo because I'm calling it right now. I'm Gary Vee in it. Yo-yos will be back really soon in demand.
You should probably start stocking them now to get ahead of it. So on that note, is it going to be a flash in the pan? Or is your store at some point, because the internet eventually, people aren't? Like, where are we headed with the nerd culture in your opinion?
I think it's here to stay. I think it's only going to get bigger. And it's from the standpoint, what's happened is this started as a small group of people, I really feel, that held onto their toys or had a store. And it's grown because of people. This is where I'm going to start. Sorry, I do this kind of like Gary Vee because my mind goes in all different directions. But I think it started because collectors started selling stuff and were making huge money on this stuff. And then people started collecting not just to sell. They started falling in love with this stuff. And it's so easy to do. I'm not going to lie. I find a Funko Pop that's $9. And it's like the coolest little thing to me. I got to detach myself sometimes from some of this stuff. I think the nerd culture is going to grow.
Hmm.
I think businesses are going to come and go depending on how you do and what you're going to proactively do to get better. And I truly believe that because I think if you don't, change is constant. It's never going to go away. And if you don't change before you need to, you're going to fall behind is what will happen. And that's what I'm trying to accomplish, Jake and I are, is the fact that we're trying to be a store that you can come to and do so many different things other than just buy a comic or buy a toy and leave. And we're trying to make sure that people understand that when you come, it's like a hotel. You can't spend the night, but you're more than welcome, and we're going to be friendly to you the whole time. You know. But I think the nerd culture will stay. And I've seen some comic and toy stores close, and I don't know if that has to do with the fact that there's maybe too many in certain markets or if they just can't keep up with the times because of the fact that you try to sell stuff for too much. Because the internet will kill you. The internet, I love the internet because it keeps you honest no matter what. It's a great tool. eBay, too high. Amazon, maybe too low. But there's a great middle little spot, and that's where you need to be. Right?
What do you think about the interaction of integration, let's say, of internet into your brick and mortar business? Is it important? Is it crucial? What is it doing for your business? I'm kind of leading you on because I'm sure it's important. So I'm curious what, your thoughts are of internet and how you as a small business owner need to utilize it.
It's a love and hate relationship.
Really?
Well, we love it because, yes, you do need it, and that helps us price stuff. And our philosophy where we're at, to be honest with you, is we are a little under market on everything unless it's very hard to find. Then we may be higher. So they will have some of those. It's like housing, right? Housing in Rochester is ridiculous because it's just booming. Everything, I feel, at this point is over market, right? And then when the market crashes, it's under market. So that's the biggest thing is we try to stay under that market because we need people to come into our store. Not other than just we're great people to talk to. We're trying to show people that we don't want to rob you. We just want to keep our lights on. We just want to be there for you. We want to make sure you have this outlet because let's be honest. Life is tough. Life is stressful. You work your 9-to-5 job or 10-to-12 job, whatever it may be, and you get out exhausted. We have families. Our families can exhaust us sometimes. It's just a great place to go to relax, to let off steam. I always compare it to the movies because when I go to the movie, I got about 2.5 hours to just not even think about stuff because my brain's always working.
Right.
And I get 2.5 hours of watching lightsabers go bzz, 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 and I love it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So what about the love related to the internet and marketing? I see you guys just started a podcast. I've noticed it starting to be distributed. And what do you like about the opportunity for internet and marketing your business in today's day and age?
It's bigger than anything out there, I believe. You know, people come to ask us about billboards or magazines. And I think the toughest thing is I am that guy that will compare to everything. And best bang for your buck's internet. Facebook, perfect example. For $20, you could have an ad on there run for literally 20 days and hit 1,000 people. And that's probably been our best thing so far. We've been in the newspaper twice, which is awesome already, and being open for like 8 months, which is really cool too. Because
which
people see
it
that.
Matters in our market, and people don't always like newspapers dying. Yeah, but people's attention in our market, we are way behind the big markets, and where they're really dumping the newspaper. Like our market still has a lot of attention on our newspaper's brand, Post Bulletin, which also distributes online. It flipping matters. Like online. Was it Kiger?
Yeah.
I mean, that guy has people's attention.
Yeah.
I mean, he helps small business too. Like,
absolutely.
Respect to Jeff Kiger. I'm not kidding you. That guy, when they put a post out there, people come. I'm sure you've seen it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I like what he's doing on Facebook. He actually just recently did not only a Facebook Live video, but he did an article on, I think, the web about the Indian restaurant that's going to be opening where the
Japanese,
old...
Japanese, right?
Yeah, Japanese. Thank you. Yep. They own
at the Goonies
Ichi
building.
Tokyo, right? Yeah. Yeah, okay. So I follow him because Jeff actually showed an interest in us before we opened.
Yes.
And he did a really nice article for us. And I mean, anybody that does something for us, I'm going to do something for you especially because I think I owe you one, you know? But I don't know. He did it. And then the 507 magazine, which is affiliate of Post Bulletin, did a really neat article. It wasn't about us. It was about collecting. But Jake's name was mentioned in there. And I think they named us once in there. But it helps because stuff like that, when you're eating, you're out eating, you grab that and you just kind of look through it, page through it, which was cool. But marketing wise, the internet is bar none, probably the best. So many people are on Facebook.
Well, I think the other thing it does for us as small business owners is it allows us to reach people we never could have. I mean, we were just chatting about the tool for a podcast where you distribute live and people can come in and ask questions.
Yeah.
And they're not from Rochester, but they have a similar passion as you do. Like, that's, I mean,
it's cool.
I have friends now all over the country because of a Facebook group I belong to that, and they're all real estate related professionals that love marketing online.
Yep.
I would have never had that before. I mean, it's just, that's what it's that love hate. I get what you're saying, where there's definitely a lot of love there, but there's also some like, oh, I got the big guys fighting me on some of these sales and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a buyer's market. You know, when people come in, I do the same thing. Yeah. You're going to check the internet to see if you can find it for better. Better doesn't always mean it. I mean, the one thing I always say about us is you're going to get the quality from us. You know, you can't return your items, but we're not selling it because it's bad. We wouldn't do that because we know we need you to come back again.
Mm-hmm.
A repeat customer is the best customer. And that's the biggest thing, is we want everybody to be a repeat customer. The reason that I just lost my train of thought because of where I was going next. But the
where
biggest
are you going
thing,
next, if you want to? Well, sorry, we can parlay.
No, it's okay. It's okay. My biggest thing, though, with that whole repeat side of it and why we do business the way we do, and it was going to the internet, is people are always on their phones looking for the best price. But when you're on the internet, you don't know what you're going to get. It's just like eBay even, right? This is one I like to use because it was a horrible experience for me. Australia. If you sell to Australia on eBay, no matter what, they can return their item. No matter what. So I sold a very rare figure. It went down there, and the guy said that it was, like, I think bent in two different spots, the package was. So eBay immediately put all the money on hold. Didn't ask any questions. I had to reach out to them and say, listen, did they send you a picture of the shipping box? Not just the toy, because they could be just taking a different toy that they had that was in bad shape, taking mine, keeping that, and then giving me the bad one back. Well, worst part about it was I never even got the toy back, even dented up. So I went with nothing.
No money,
no figure back, nothing. But there again, that's one of those situations you don't know what's going to happen when you buy. There's a lot of great experiences, but if you look on Facebook, every single day there's a group of saying somebody don't trade with this person. They're shady. They took my money and ran.
That's crazy.
Because how easy is it to make a fake profile?
Right.
Super easy.
Stupid, man. It's a love-hate thing. Yeah. You're absolutely right. Like, there's so much opportunity, but at the same point, there's that. There's just, darn it.
Yeah.
If we were to cast a vision for the future of Nerding Out, and I know that you've shared, you tend to cast your vision sometimes a little too far. I think we probably share in that, but it's also a good thing to do so. What are we seeing in the future of Nerding Out, from the online scene to just the brick and mortar store? What's kind of your vision? And
I want to keep it simple. I want people to have a place where they love to come. I don't want to overgrow to where people are like, well, this isn't my same store. Because when people like this, when they come in, it's their store, right? It really is. This is the store they've wanted for so long. It's their store they go to. They really take ownership of it. And I don't want to take that away from anybody. What I want to do is I want to evolve to be able to give people what they want and more of what they want. So if that means a gaming center room, if that means we're doing all these more figures or we need to grow, we'll do that with time if it need be. But I don't want to take away from what we have, because those people really matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
As far as growing, I mean, I think with our name and our motto, I feel like we literally could have stores in different states, because it's not a Minneapolis toy. It's not a Rochester Comics. It's Nerding Out. It's a way of life. Mm-hmm. It's a culture. Mm-hmm. It really is. That's why I think we stuck to that name, because Nerding Out is Nerding Out. People, you ask somebody what Nerding Out is to them, and they'll tell you what it is. I've asked that as a question to win a prize, and people tell me it's sitting in my Chewbacca pajamas, or it's sitting down reading a comic. It is that to somebody.
Right.
You know?
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's super cool. Well, I look forward to the future. I look forward to I personally think your store is just the start of the size. Like, you guys are already expanding in the footprint you have. I'm sure you're already like, imagine, okay, this wall goes.
Yeah.
How do we go this way, that way, up, down?
Yeah, we've had to rearrange twice already. It reminds me of when I was a kid. I'd rearrange my room once a month, I swear. And now I feel like we're doing that because we have so much stuff. that we need to get bigger for people.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
So if people want to find you online, where should they go, and what would you suggest they even follow? Do you have profiles on different social channels? What you got going?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have a website. It's nerdandout.com. We have our Facebook page, which is just Nerdin' Out. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're heavily on Instagram and Facebook. Twitter, we're just kind of getting rolling on it. But yeah, our Facebook page is probably one of the biggest ones. We do a lot of giveaways, and we're trying to get that over to Instagram more and more because Instagram is bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I always think it's funny because they always say Facebook's going to be like newspaper, right? Everybody's parents are going to be on Facebook, and every kid is going to be on Instagram.
Or Snapchat.
Until they come out with something new.
Dude,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
What about the podcast? When and how do we listen to that? Where do we find it?
Yeah, thanks. Every other Wednesday is when we do our podcast. It's every other Wednesday night. We are actually on SoundCloud, iTunes, and then now, like I talked to you about Zcast. Zcast is a really cool one. Any of our followers or anything, when you go to Zcast, if you have an account, you can see when our podcast is going to be live. You can actually listen to it, and you can type in messages or shout-outs or something that you want us to talk about, and we can really interact with fans, which is really cool. I think that this is probably the neatest thing I've seen because I love interacting with people.
Yes.
It's so much more fun than just talking about myself.
Right. Like Gary Vee says, dude, it's his oxygen.
Yeah.
The comments, man, it is.
Absolutely.
And then as far as – We gotta say it's December 8th. Christmas is coming. Like, if you're a parent, you're in Rochester, why should I go to your store to buy for my kids? What will I find? Is there any deals? Is there any hot things that I should purchase? It's a lot of questions at once, but I'm curious because Christmas is coming.
Christmas is coming. It's a two-parter for me. I mean, it's not just young kids. You also have your big kids, like your dads.
Sure.
And
yes.
Your,
yeah.
We have something for every one of the big kids.
Cool.
But for the small kids, we have Lego sets. We have newer action figures, people they would know. Me personally, my biggest thing, if you're a dad out there, is I love getting my son into what I love. So He-Man.
Oh, yeah.
I've got him into that. He watches the cartoons on Netflix. But that's that whole thing about when we were growing up and bringing it back part to it. We have stuff for girls. We do have some Barbies. We do have superhero Barbies. We also have girls' Lego sets. I'm trying to think. We have a lot more. I just can't think off the top of my head. But we do have something for everybody, whether it's a $1 toy in our dollar bin, which we specialize in.
Oh, nice. That's the deal. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we have a dollar bin. So there's all these little toys in there you can get for a buck. We do have some really good sales on certain things. We have 50% off on a lot of toys in our store right now, actually. And then we will have a Christmas deal.
Okay.
Also. One thing I do want to bring up, this is really cool. One reason you should shop at our store is because we give back. We actually have a family, we have two families that we're going to be giving a bag of Christmas toys to.
Sweet.
So it's mostly for the kids, but we did a thing earlier in the month where we just had our own customers nominate families, and we got about 12 entries. And we fielded through them, and we brought people in to interview them.
Sweet.
Yep. And we decided, so we've got two families that we're going to surprise with bags full of toys here in the next week or two.
Yes.
So
look forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then I always like to wrap up my podcast with movers and shakers.
Yep.
What movers and shakers do you see out there? It doesn't have to be Rochester only. It doesn't have to be nerd culture only. Who, what, business, anything. What are you seeing out there? I'm always interested.
Yeah, and when I did the relapse earlier, that's why. By the way, you said, where were you going? I didn't want to spoil this for you.
There we go.
Some are local. Just because when you're a new business, it's kind of hard to really reach out or even know what to do. You've got Ryan Froh.
Yes.
And
I don't think he's been on, man.
Yeah. So that guy is amazing, by the way. I've known Ryan Froh for a while just from playing basketball and stuff at the Rack. But shout out to the Rack, too, which is in Rochester, Minnesota.
Yes. I got a racquetball tournament coming up.
There you go.
Not this weekend, next weekend. And I messaged Ryan this morning, and I said, Ryan, I'm playing with my dad, and it's his birthday. So can you make one that says, I'm with the birthday boy, and then his shirt says, birthday boy? Like, we're going to have total – my dad doesn't know it's coming, but it's coming.
You'll have to teach me racquetball. I want to start a little bit because I'm getting to that age now where I can't move
fun.
So quick on the
it's
court.
Fun.
But Ryan Froh at R&F Print and Design is phenomenal. He can help you with shirts, business cards, websites, yes. You name it. This dude has really immersed himself in this culture. He's been doing great things for the community too with the coats. Mm-hmm. I can't say enough. He's going to be a mover and shaker. This dude is going to be legit. I literally would actually have to say he could be on some big committee here in town in 10 years.
That's awesome.
Because he's doing so much for the community. Yep. He's not only making money, but he's giving so much back by what he does. I mean, he's been amazing to us, and I know he's been amazing to so many other people to where they would talk about it. Another one, my personal favorite, is Mike and Dotto over at NeuroVisuals. Those are the guys that, if you ever go to our Facebook page, made the video. It's like a one-minute video. And they actually made that for us, and Mike is on our podcast, and they're actually going to help us with this Christmas thing. So what's really cool about it is they're going to interview us.
Yes.
I believe he was there to interview one of the people that were there to interview, and they will be along for the ride when we deliver it all. So we're going to make an edited whole video of it and put it on our page eventually. It'll be late by the time they get, you know, they'll have the presents and everything, but those guys are amazing at what they do too. They did the editing on that video, which was awesome. They do music videos, they do photography, they do weddings. I mean, you name it, I feel like they do it.
We really are seeing some great creators start to pop up in our community, and I think they're here for a long time to come because businesses are recognizing their talents and they're starting to utilize them.
As long as people use them, as long as people recognize that. There's so many big companies out there, but what are the big companies really doing for you compared to some of these little companies? You know, because some of these guys really need a chance. Like, these guys at Neuro are legit good, and what they bring to the table, like, Mike blows my mind every time I talk with him because his creativeness is bar none some of the best I've seen in a while.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. And we talked about it earlier. I know it's huge, but I think Walmart's going to be a mover and shaker. I really do.
In the digital era, like, some people would say they can't keep up, but you're saying no.
They're doing everything in their power. You read up on them, and they're doing a lot on their side to keep up with Amazon. You're going to see, and you can totally disagree with me, and I know people will, but Google and Amazon are going different ways. Google's going towards automated cars and stuff like that. Amazon's going towards automated houses. You're seeing it with all their stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like the Alexa and...
Don't say that too loud. She might answer you in the background. She's here.
Oh, crap. Okay. Sorry, Alexa. Play.
Yeah. Now you're just going to start dropping requests.
Alexa, play Macklemore. No. But... I think that's where you're seeing it, because Amazon started by getting enough money from what they did, and I think they're going a lot more toward automation, which scares the crap out of me. I don't need a ton of people watching me in my house. I don't need the government knowing what I'm doing in my house. That's my house, man. But I think Walmart is really smart about how they're doing this whole pickup thing, and I think you're going to see them keep going and keep going. Where I'm not saying Target won't, but Target's kind of just... Mm-hmm. Sitting pat for a little bit here because they're comfy. Walmart's not comfy, right? Because you think of Walmart, it's that lower end side of it where they're trying to get better end, and then they're starting to do outside of the box things, which I think is really creative and I think you need in an industry right now.
Well, there you have it. I don't want to end this conversation. I just want to keep chatting all night long, but I know it's late on a Friday night, and thank you for joining me on the podcast. Thank you for everybody that's listening here after the fact. And you guys need to go check Nerding Out. They are off of Elton Hills Drive.
Yep.
And what's across the street? I don't even know, man.
I don't even know.
It's right off Elton Hills Drive by Family Video, by the new pizza joint.
Yeah, so it's Family Video, and Marco's Pizza is right in with them. They're attached. So we're directly behind that.
There you go.
So there's not much else to see in that strip center.
You can get your hair cut.
Come see us.
Yeah, there you go. You need to check it out. Also, check out their website. Check out their podcast. Go visit the guys at Nerdin' Out. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to the next guest on the Bucky Beamon Audio Adventure.
That's a good one.
That was cool.
Yeah.
It's funny because it starts taking me back to like Pokemon. I was into Pokemon pretty, you know. I like Pokemon a lot.
Yeah.
And I had the holograph cards and.
So I have a buddy that's huge into collecting too, and his brother had a bunch of Pokemon. They've been sitting in a garage forever. In there, he found one of the most rare Charizards.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember my buddies, so I had some buddies that were into, like, the Chinese ones and stuff. So, like, Japanese Charizard and, like, all of that stuff.
Yeah, he found in it literally, like, a week ago, one of the most rare. Probably worth $5,000.
Gosh.
Yeah, I know, right? Crazy. If you would have kept those toys back in the day. That's what's crazy.
Yeah, I want to get to